ourselves to the teaching of God's word. Fellowship with believers, breaking bread in communion. Won't you come and join us?
Welcome to The Sustaining Word, a listener-supported teaching ministry of Calvary Chapel, Manitowoc, Wisconsin. Join Pastor Joe Guglielmo for today's study from God's Word, the Bible. Stay tuned at the end of the broadcast for program ordering information.
He will never leave us or forsake us. He will always be with us. I understand we struggle with sin in this life. Paul did. In Romans 7, he talked about it in verses 15 through 20. He says, for what I am doing, speaking of present, I do not understand. For what I will to do, that I do not practice. But what I hate, that I do. If then I do what I will not to do, I agree with the law that it is good. But now it is no longer I who do it, but sin that dwells in me. For I know that in me, that is in my flesh, nothing good dwells. For the will is present with me, but how to perform what is good I do not find. For the good that I will to do, I do not do. But the evil I will not to do, that I practice. Now if I do what I will not to do, it is no longer I who do it, but sin that dwells in me. Paul's speaking about his life after he was saved. And he's having this struggle. Things I want to do, I'm not doing. The things I don't want to do, that's what I'm doing. And I'm struggling in this battle. Why? Because of the flesh. That sin is still there. Because these bodies of flesh are still with us. That's why these bodies of flesh cannot enter the kingdom of God. They will be changed. They will be transformed. And think about it. If Paul was not a Christian, this was happening before he was a Christian, or a carnal Christian, or a backslidden Christian, will they care even about their sin? No, because they're living in a life apart from God. They don't care. They don't care what they're doing. Paul's struggling here. This is a battle for him, and it's a battle for us. And that's why we need to walk in the Spirit, and we won't fulfill the lusts of the flesh. You see the battle? The flesh lusts against the Spirit against the flesh. They're contrary to one another. Is that true? The flesh and the Spirit are contrary? Absolutely. The Spirit are the things of God, pure, holy, right. The flesh does whatever it wants to do, which is not good. And it's a battle we need to take seriously. Paul said in Romans 6, don't let sin reign in your mortal bodies, that you should obey in its lust. Do not present your members as instruments of unrighteousness to sin, but present yourselves to God as being alive from the dead and your members as instruments of righteousness to God. There it is. How are you living your life? We screw up all the time, but what is the passion of your heart? It's a tough battle out there, especially today. You can't even watch commercials anymore because they're so evil. They're so wicked. They're trying to promote the things of this world. Now think about it. Here in John 16, Jesus talked about them all leaving and fleeing him. What if it just ended there? That would be pretty discouraging, wouldn't it? Okay, guys, I know you say you believe in me, but, you know, your faith is really going to be tested here. You're all going to flee. You're all going to run away. See you later. Got to go. No, it doesn't end there. And I like that. Look at verse 33 here in John 16. Jesus said, these things I have spoken to you, that in me you may have peace. In the world you will have tribulation, but be of good cheer, I've overcome the world. Wow, I like that. You know, yeah, Jesus was talking about persecution and in the earlier verses, loving those that hate him. It's not going to be easy, that they're all going to run away. He just got done talking about. And then he says, these things I have spoken to you, that in me you may have peace. In the world you'll have tribulation. But be of good cheer, I've overcome the world. This is the whole reason for this long talk with this man, his purpose for it. It was to bring them peace, even though they're going to find it very difficult as the world comes against them. Remember what he said in John 15? If the world hates you, you know it hated me before it hated you. If you were of the world would love its own. Yet because you are not of the world, but I chose you out of the world, therefore the world hates you. Remember the word that I said to you, a servant is not greater than his master. If they persecuted me, they will also persecute you. If they kept my word, they will keep yours also. I don't think they fully understood the extent of the persecution that was going to come against them. First of all, with Jesus, you know, he's arrested in the garden. I'm sure they were told how badly beaten he was. In fact, the Old Testament says he's so beaten that his face doesn't even resemble that of a man anymore. Crucified, that's the one they love so much. And then the world was going to come after them. And Jesus gave them a heads up on all of this. But they're not going to find that peace in the world anymore. And it's interesting that in John chapter 17, after all this, you know, 13, 14, 15, 16, those chapters, they're dealing with instruction, warning, all the danger that's out there. What does Jesus do? He prays. Prays for himself, prays for his disciples, and then he prays for you and me. Wow. What kind of peace is Jesus talking about? That's interesting, right? Because we have all kinds of ideas. I think these words were words of comfort to men that were going to be in turmoil. It's interesting. All that Jesus was going to happen to him, right? He's going to be mocked and spit upon and just beaten to a pulp and crucified. You think he was the one who needed the peace, right? His men should have been saying, you know, Jesus, we're with you. It's the other way around. Why? Because Jesus has enough peace to give to others. Just because he gives out his peace doesn't mean he loses any quantity of it. He's the Prince of Peace. Now, let me ask you this. This is kind of a trick question. Did Jesus promise us peace? I think we would say, well, of course he did. That's what we just read. Didn't you read it, Pastor Joe? I don't think it's totally correct. He didn't promise us peace. What did he say? It's an offering. In me, you may have peace. Oh, isn't that interesting? We have the choice of having peace in Jesus. Are there Christians, and maybe it's me, maybe you, that have not had peace in their lives, struggling with it? The problem isn't that the peace isn't there for us to receive. It's just that we haven't received it into our lives. See, the key, first of all, is you have to be a Christian. You cannot experience the peace of God in your life until you make peace with God. That's what Paul said in Romans 5:1. Therefore, having been justified by faith, we have peace with God through our Lord Jesus Christ. There it is. You can't have peace with God apart from him. In fact, the Bible says we're at war with God when we don't know him. If we now have peace with God, what does that imply before we came to Christ, what we were doing? Well, we were at war with him. Now we're at peace with him. We're in a relationship with him. In fact, Paul in Romans 8, verses 7 and 8, said, because the carnal mind is enmity against God, for it is not subject to the law of God, nor indeed can be. So then those who are in the flesh cannot please God. In other words, you're at war with God. You can't please God in the things you're doing. Why? Because you're not a child of God. And so the war is fought because we want to do our own thing. But the reality is, if you're not for him, then you're against him. And again, you can't experience the peace of God into your life without making peace with God, and that's only through Jesus Christ. And then once we make peace with God, and here's the wonderful thing, guys. Paul tells us in Philippians 4, verses 6 and 7, be anxious for nothing, but in everything, by prayer and supplication, with thanksgiving, let your requests be made known to God. And the peace of God, which surpasses all understanding, will guard your hearts and your minds through Christ Jesus. I like the Amplified Bible. It puts these verses like this. Do not fret or have any anxiety about anything, but in every circumstance and in everything, by prayer and petition, definite request, with thanksgiving, continue to make your wants known to God. And God's peace shall be yours, the tranquil state of a soul, assured of its salvation through Christ, and so fearing nothing from God and being content with its earthly lot of whatever sort that is, that peace, which transcends all understanding, shall garrison and mount guard over your hearts and minds in Christ Jesus. There's the promise to us. He will guard our hearts, the emotions, right? When we're going through tough stuff, it's an emotional thing. And what about our minds? Yeah, our minds are running 240, man. They're just going and going and going. They have no rest. There's no peace. Until we bring it to Jesus and say, Lord, I got to lay this at your feet because it's destroying me. It's something that this world is longing for. I don't know if you've looked at some of the statistics out there, but mental illness among young children is on the rise. Suicide rates among young children is on the rise. Why? Because they're not kids anymore. We've made them adults and we made them fearful of everything. Oh, look out, COVID, this, that, everything that's out there, we've made them so fearful for. And I saw this when the Twin Towers came down and we had that gathering in the park. And I just shared from Jeremiah that the Lord has good in store for you, not of evil. And I tried to give people hope that's only found in Jesus. And there were kids, parents were bringing them up to me, and they were just crying. The kids were tearful. What were they crying about? How do they know what was going on? Because of their parents. And it made them terrified of what was happening in this world. And so I prayed with them and told them that God loves them. You see, that's where our peace is found. You believe in the promises of God to us through His Word. No matter what happens to us in this world, no matter health, wealth, whatever, everything taken away, it doesn't matter. You know why? Because this is temporary and that's eternal. And even in all the chaos that's going on down here, does God know all things? Oh, He does. We just learned that. Is He God? Yes, He is. So can He help me? Yes, He can. He can give me this peace. I may have that peace if I'm willing to receive that peace into my life and trust what God is saying. Now, I know some people may get upset with this, but is there peace for the wicked, for those that don't know God? Do you ever think about that? I can only tell you what the Bible says. Isaiah 48:22, there is no peace, says the Lord, for the wicked. Why? Because they don't know the Prince of Peace. They can't find the peace they're looking for. There's peace that's temporary, true, but it's not the peace that God has. And I realize it's a tough world we're living in today. But as Christians, we should be the most excited people in the world. We should be the most rejoicing, excited people, because the Lord's coming back. Is it going to happen in my lifetime? I don't know. Is it going to happen in my children's lifetime? I don't know. But I know we're our days closer than we were, you know, what, 20, 30 years ago. I look at the things that are happening in the world, I go, you know, I don't know how much longer this can go on. You know, as soon as you start getting into this transhumanism, this artificial intelligence stuff, how long can this go on? I don't know. But I know the Lord's coming. And so instead of the fear of what's going to be happening, I don't have to worry because I may have that peace, and I'm going to have that peace because I'm going to receive it from Jesus. You know, when, you know, we're moving to the year 2000 and, you know, the nuclear warheads were going to go off, gas stations were going to close, there was going to be no food in the stores. You know, my wife's parents wanted us to buy this big sack of beans. I'm sorry, I don't need to. Why? Because I'm just going to rest in Jesus, man. I if you want to buy some extra food, that's wise. You know, be prepared in case something happens. Fill up your car, but don't put gas in your garage in those containers. You're going to kill yourself. And there was fear. They had lost this peace that God had for them. And we look at these disciples, we go, how could they be so foolish? God was with them. They knew He was God. They knew He knew all things. Why couldn't they trust in Him? Because they didn't receive that peace. Not yet. This is offered to us. We have to receive it by faith. And the devil loves to cause us to fear. Why? Because it takes our eyes off the Lord and focuses on all the situations. I mean, I don't know about you, but I just know it is for me. When I'm overwhelmed by things, when things seem to be, oh, what is going on? And I'm looking this way, out at the situation, trying to figure things out, instead of looking this way, upward, and saying, Lord, what do you want me to do? I can't handle this. And it's not like the Lord said, oh, I didn't realize that. Sorry, Joe. No, He realized that He just wanted me always to trust in Him, to look to Him. He didn't change His ways. I changed mine. Instead of looking up, I looked out. And that's a dangerous place to be because there's no rest in that. The devil loves to come in, though, and give us false peace. How does he do that? All kinds of ways, through drugs. Just take this pill, this drug. Oh, it's mind-blowing. Yeah, it's going to blow your mind. It's going to mess it up bad. Alcohol, hypnosis, transcendental meditation, yoga, whatever, New Age teachings. They're superficial answers to what? A spiritual issue. You know, I share with you on our prophecy update that now they have a Christian Ouija board. I know you guys are like, what are you talking? Yeah, Amazon's selling it. A Christian Ouija board. Go figure. But that's where we're at. And a Christian, supposedly a Christian, was, you know, saying this is the greatest thing that God now is speaking to him. He hears from God so clearly. I'm thinking, read the Bible out loud and you will hear from God. Don't go to a demonic thing to hear from God, because that's not God speaking. That's the demons. But that's where we're at. The devil offers all kinds of imitations to the true peace that's found in the Prince of Peace. You can't find peace anywhere else except in him. Ephesians 2:14, for he himself is our peace. Oh, I like that. And I need to be reminded of that often. This peace that Jesus offers is found in a person, in him. Not in a pill or a program or this or that. In John, remember 14:27? Peace I leave with you, my peace I give to you, not as the world gives do I give to you. Let not your heart be troubled, neither let it be afraid. Why? Why shouldn't my heart be troubled over all that's going on? Why shouldn't I be afraid at seeing all these things happening? Because he's given this peace to us, and I may have that peace if I receive that peace. Well, how can I be so sure that this peace is real? What did Jesus say here in John 16:33? I've overcome the world. Now, wait a minute. You're going to be beaten, crucified, put in a tomb. How have you overcome this world? Because he rose from the grave in 3 days. The world tried to hold him down. Did it succeed? No. And I'm sure the devil rejoiced when they crucified Jesus. Because I don't think the devil knows all things, because he's not God. He knows some things. And it's interesting, you could go through the Old Testament and look, every time that it's narrowed down to where the Messiah is going to come from, that's who's attacked. He thought it was through Abel. Cain slew Abel, right? And you could go throughout the storyline. He tries to infect the whole human race. And then God raises up Noah, who was perfect without contamination, you might say. And through a flood, destroys the earth. And Noah and his wife and his three sons and their wives go through with all those animals on the ark. You see it with Haman, right? Haman's plot to destroy the Jews. Does he succeed? No. Haman's hung on the scaffold that he was going to hang Mordecai on. And you could go on and look at more, but even with Jesus, right? Herod. Wise men come, oh, you know, the big, you know, we think of three guys traveling on camels. Are you kidding? This is a big caravan of people that came. And Herod wanted to know what's going on, talking about this Messiah, this king that it was born. They're going to see him. They didn't know exactly where it was, where he was going to be. So he asked the Jewish religious leaders, where is this king going to be born? And what did they say? Bethlehem in Ephratah. Bethlehem. So the wise men were supposed to come back and tell Herod where this child was born. And they were warned not to, and they went home a different way. So what did Herod do? This is probably Jesus is probably 2 years older or a little bit more. Herod goes and kills all the young children. I believe it's from 2 years old and under in Bethlehem. Bethlehem wasn't a huge city, but can you imagine your child being killed because of that evil man? But Jesus' family Joseph and Mary were warned to take Jesus and go to Egypt. How could they afford that? Gold, myrrh, and frankincense. What the wise men gave them, they were able to survive on. But again, you see over and over the devil trying to stop the things of God. And thus we don't have to fear, because God always has a plan. He has a way out for us. He'll take care of us. Nothing can stop our God. And we need to remember that. These words were to comfort his men, even though great tribulation was going to come upon them. Can we apply that today? Yeah, these words are to comfort us, even though there's tribulation from the world, not from God. That doesn't start yet. But there is tribulation from the world that's coming upon us. We need to be of good cheer. I wish that wasn't in there, huh? Really? In the midst of all this, I'm supposed to be of good cheer? Yeah, because people are looking to you. If you are grumbling and mumbling and complaining, why would they want what we want, what we have? No, we're to be of good cheer because he's in control and he'll see us, like I said, through this. So, yeah, the disciples' profession, we've made a profession of faith, right? We see the prophecy of Jesus about all this difficult fleeing and stuff. Does it cause us to fear, lose hope? No, it shouldn't, because we have the Prince of Peace in our lives, Jesus. And as I said, next time we're going to begin looking at the prayer of our great high priest, Jesus Christ, as he prays for himself, his men, and then for all of us who come to believe. I want to close with this because, again, even us as Christians, sometimes we have a different perspective of what peace is all about. And you probably heard this before, but it's just a great illustration of what the peace that God has for us in the midst of all this. Long ago, there was a man who sought the perfect picture of peace, and he couldn't find anyone that satisfied, so he made a contest to produce this masterpiece. And it was a challenge that stirred the imagination of artists everywhere. And so paintings arrived from far and wide, and here was the day of the great revelation, and the judges uncovered one peaceful scene after another, and everyone clapped, obviously, and cheered. They were amazed at the pictures, and tensions grew. There were two pictures left. And the judge pulled the cover from one, and there was this hush that fell over the crowd. It was a picture of a mere smooth lake and green birches under the soft blush of the evening sky. Along the grassy shore, a flock of sheep grazed undisturbed. Man, it was just, talk about peace. Everything was calm in the picture. It's just awesome. The man with the vision then uncovered the second painting himself. And then there was this gasp from the crowd. Like, how could that be peace? And what it showed was a tumultuous waterfall that was cascading down a rocky precipice. The crowd could almost feel its cold, penetrating spray. Stormy gray clouds threatened to explode with lightning, wind, and rain. In the midst of the thundering noises and bitter chill, a spindly tree clung to the rocks at the edge of the falls. One of its branches reached out in front of the torrential waters as if foolishly seeking to experience its full power. A little bird had built a nest in the elbow of the branch. Content and undisturbed in her stormy surroundings, she rested on her eggs. With her eyes closed and her wings ready to cover her little ones, she manifested peace that transcends all earthly turmoil. Exactly. It's a peace that surpasses all understanding. That's what Jesus told his men. And I'm just going to read from the Amplified Bible this verse, John 16:33. I have told you these things so that in me you may have perfect peace and confidence. In the world you have tribulation and trials and distress and frustration. But be of good cheer. Take courage. Be confident, certain, undaunted. For I have overcome the world. I have deprived it of power to harm you and have conquered it for you. Amen. Let's pray. Father, we thank you for these words of encouragement, that we may have that peace that you have for each of us, a peace that surpasses all understanding. And we could receive that into our lives, or we could reject it and just be focused on all the turmoil that's going on around us. Lord, I want to have that peace. I want to be able to rest in you, not be fearful and anxious and worried about every little thing, but to know you're in control. And as a good shepherd, you will guide me each and every day, all my steps, and you will see me through to heaven one day. And I thank you for your love, your compassion, your faithfulness, everything, Lord. And thank you for this peace. We ask these things in Jesus' name. Amen.
Devoting ourselves to the teaching of God's word, fellowship with believers, breaking bread in communion. Won't you come and join us as we feast on God's word?
That's all the time we have for today's teaching. If you would like a personal copy of this message, mention today's date when you contact us. Our mailing address is Calvary Chapel, Manitowoc, Post Office Box 224, Manitowoc, Wisconsin, 54221-0224. Our telephone number is area code 920-682-6163. Or visit us on the web at www.thesustainingword.com, where you can listen to past studies and review the study notes. It is the hope of Pastor Joe and the congregation of Calvary Chapel, Manitowoc, that you would grow in the grace and knowledge of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. Until next time, may the Lord nourish you with His sustaining word.